Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the NWAC South Fast Break Show. We do this show every Monday night at 9:30 Pacific time. We used to do it on Tuesday night. Now we've moved to Monday night. Don't forget, if you can't listen live, you can always listen to the podcast. There's great information on this show, especially tonight. There will be outstanding information coming out of this show. But if you can't listen live, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com you can then punch in NWAC South Fast Break Show. You'll get every show we've ever done, which these are four great coaches, four great human beings who are shaping the lives of young men and women all over the place. I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. And we might have a few surprises on this show coming up in the next few weeks. So that is always a lot of fun, but this is a very fun show to do, and it always gets started off by Trevor Hoff, but the guys are turned the tables on me tonight. They're going to interview me, which might put a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people in the United States that one of the biggest health issues is people being able to sleep. This finally might solve the problem because people might hear this interviews and I might put them to sleep with my answers. Trevor Hoff, you never have trouble sleeping on the beautiful Oregon coast in Coos Bay, Oregon, where you're the head coach at Southwestern Oregon Community College. Is that not correct?
That is correct. There's no doubt about that, and I'm hoping we can keep Coach Chaska awake here as we get started on the show here.
Well, you know, I can hardly wait for his questions, but I know you got some dandies for me, so you're going first. Always pressuring that number one slot, but fire away.
No doubt. Well, I was going to start off with a question about. And I'm just throwing this out there. There are some other sports in the NWAC that the tournaments are maybe being determined by RPI or different things like that. Right now in basketball, you know, the top four teams from each region make the NWAC basketball tournament. So my question to you is, what are your thoughts as far as the tournament and maybe looking at an RPI or changing it? Or, you know, I guess if we did do that, maybe, you know, one year we could get five teams in or six teams in, and maybe another year we only get three. So I don't know. What are your thoughts about that?
I would be opposed to an RPI, and I will tell you why. Who's doing the RPI? Who's creating the formula? You know, I'm just not a big fan of RPIs. I'm more of a fan of a records. You play with what you got. You could go up and beat Whatcom, and that would be a big win. It's a non-league win. How does that factor in? I guess to answer your question and finalize it, I am not a fan at all of RPIs in any area, and I think the NCAA RPIs are all fouled up.
Yeah, you bring up some great points, and that those are some things that would definitely have to be discussed if this ever did even come about. Would be, yeah, first off, how are we going to develop that RPI, and then how well does it work? And yeah, there's a lot that could go into that. So I think you're right on that. And you know, there's something to be said about the top four teams. We kind of know that, hey, our preseason. If no matter what, you know, we still got a chance coming into conference in those top four teams. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah, Trevor, it's like having a bad neighbor. You sometimes want them to move, but in other times you know what you got.
that's true too.
What's your next question?
Yeah, I'm going to switch gears and go away from basketball and hoops. And you've talked to me a little bit about my love of animals and dogs in particular. And I just wanted to get a little bit more background on your love of all animals and maybe some thoughts you have on animals and adoption and things like that.
Well, you know, thank you for that. Yes, I think I probably over the years, and I'm up there, it was a real shock last August to get my Medicare card, so that reveals something. But I will tell you that I think over my lifetime, from the time I was about 10 years old, I probably have found over 1,000 homes for animals. And just by telling people, oh, this animal's pretty good, these people got it, and everything. And I think it just comes from my dad. We had a dog, Sam, who would ring the bell actually on the back porch when he was hungry. And the night that my dad passed away, December 22nd of 1973, that dog ran, Sam rang that bell for like a week. Just missed my dad so much. And I think my mother was the same way. Had a great love of animals. My mom was terrific. She never drove a car in her life. She did so much, and she'd be an example to every player in the NWAC that you just go do it. Way before Nike, just do it.
Yeah.
And that was the way she had her attitude.
Wow,
and I do think, Trevor, one more thing I'll say. I get very disturbed about the fact that we do not emphasize spay and neutering our pets enough. Shelters love to brag about their adoptions, a lot of them, but how much effort do they really put into talking about spay and neuter? I don't see it, and we need to do a better job on that, because I think it's, 2076 if we found a home. We would be 2076 if every animal that doesn't have a home found a home. It would take us that long. Naturally, animals aren't going to live that long, but, you know, that's kind of my soapbox about the way I feel about pet health and animals.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more there, and appreciate the touching story about Sam and your dad. And a lot of my love for dogs and animals goes back to my childhood with my parents, too. And so, and couldn't agree more with you about the spading and neutering, and more people need to step up. The shelters need to step up, but everybody needs to. And so that's a great thought there.
It's not that tough to do it. I'll close out with you, Trevor. I want to do this with everybody tonight, because I love the questions, but just give us about a 1-minute synopsis of Southwestern Oregon Community College basketball, where it is right now.
You know, we're in that gray area zone right now as far as the spring ball, and just, you know, we've been working hard and guys have been working hard in the classroom, and but they're also trying to finish up the term strong, and I think we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Some of them are getting a little tired, getting a little spring fever. I think everybody's doing that. But I just appreciate how we've been working on the court and in the study halls and in classroom and weight room and things like that. So we're plugging away and looking forward to, graduation coming up here in a couple weeks, or more than a couple weeks. But hopefully we're going to finish the term strong and go into the summer strong and get the guys a little break and getting them back home where they can, be working out, and maybe a lot of them are getting jobs and stuff like that, so they can save a little money for next year.
Very good, Trevor. Great job tonight. Thanks for the wonderful questions. We'll talk to you again next Monday night on the NWAC South Fast Break Show.
You bet. Thanks a lot. It was fun to switch it up tonight. We'll talk to you later.
You betcha. We'll only do this once a year, so they get their best shot. The coaches, thank you, Trevor Off, the Southwestern Oregon Community College men's coach. Now let's swing up to beautiful Eugene, Oregon. And I can hardly wait for this. Bruce Chopka, the head men's coach at Lane Community College. Bruce, it's your stage.
It's my stage. I had to prepare and write a bunch of notes, but we're going to go with the rapid-fire style here, Greg, so you got to be on your toes. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One sister, wonderful sister, that actually you guys would all love, taught for 31 years in the Portland Public Schools at some very tense schools.
Teacher, I love it. Good for her. Are you a Northern? Are you a North Carolina Tar Heel fan or a Duke Blue Devil fan?
Oh, North Carolina all the way. I can't stand Krzyzewski. I know Cliff's going to kill me for that.
There you go. That's a good response. Three people dead or alive that you could have dinner with tomorrow night.
Let's see. I think it would be they both are deceased, but I'd love to bring back my mom and dad for dinner. And
amen.
I think that I'd like to have dinner with Dwight Eisenhower because we actually have a signed letter that handwritten that he wrote to my dad. Because my dad wrote to him what an honor it was to serve under him in the war.
Oh, wow, that's special. That's good stuff. Are you a Dodger fan or a San Francisco Giant fan?
Oh, I've always been a Dodger fan. You know, since I listened to the games on KFI, Farmer John's and Union Oil were the sponsors. I had the transistor radio up in the house at Selwood. And plus the Giants. You know what? When I go to games at Candlestick Park, which I know they're not there anymore, but I do enjoy getting 3 hours getting out of the joint.
No doubt. Has Greg Crawford ever been in the back seat of a police car?
No. Yes, I have, on the ride-alongs with the Portland Police Bureau.
Oh,
so I have been
go.
In the back seat of the police car, but other than that, no handcuffs.
Good deal, good deal. What states have you lived in?
Well, I've spent a lot of time in Philadelphia, a lot of time in Houston, but I guess you know, I've always had my residence in Oregon. I grew up in Selwood, and I loved it, and I stayed there 49 years. And quite frankly, of all the places I went to school, the best education I got a lot of schooling in me. The best education I got was Cleveland High School. By the way, the alma mater of Phil Knight.
Phil Knight, that's good stuff. And Gabe Palmquist Clark is the alma mater, a graduate of that high school, I believe. Yeah, a lot of us don't, trust me. I'm new to the party, but I didn't realize Philadelphia and Houston were states. But moving right along, are you, if you had to choose, Oregon State Beaver or an Oregon Duck? Rapid fire, choose.
Oh, I think I've got it. You know, if I had to lean one way or the other, I would go with the Beavers. You know, I like the underdogs.
Go.
I like the team that doesn't have the facilities. You know, that Gill Coliseum's like playing in a coal mine. So, you know, and anyway,
I got to go
with the Beavers.
There we go. Have you ever fainted just stone cold out, just fainted and hit the ground? You were completely out.
I think I did about a year ago when I got up and my leg was asleep and I fell backwards and I woke up and everything. And I dreamed that Lake Community College won the NWAC championship.
Hey, there we go. That's a great dream. I love it. I love it. Would you rather watch NBA basketball or college basketball?
You know, I think that since I'm considered the college basketball guru and saw 150 games last year live and in person start to finish, including that horrible team that you threw out there, I think I'd rather watch the NBA.
Hey, there we go. Your favorite all-time trailblazer?
That's got to be Jeff Petrie. He made the Portland Trailblazers. With no three-point line, the way that guy could shoot, he packed them in there. He was a guy that when he was on the floor, nobody went to the restroom. Kind of like Reggie Jackson coming up to bat. Nobody left the park to get anything. Jeff Petrie was phenomenal, all-time favorite trailblazer without question.
Can you tell me where Petrie went to college?
Yes, I can, Princeton.
Hey, good knowledge. That's a good one. If you could interview any athlete, dead or alive, who would it be?
I would interview Wilt Chamberlain and tell him I've had more women than he had.
This show is completely digressed. I love it. That's good answers. What have you ever been to Hawaii?
Yes, I have. I went with Linfield's basketball team in 1969 when they really had a good club. And of course, at that time, you had to come up with more cash than the Hawaiians to give to the referees. We didn't quite make it.
I didn't know Hawaii was a state in 1969, but moving right along, what's your favorite movie?
The last movie I saw was a double feature, Old Yeller and 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I was 9 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Favorite actor?
Favorite actor is probably Gary Payton because he flopped more than anyone.
Oh, good. There you go. Have you ever been to Europe?
Oh, heck no, and I'm not going.
Are you an old-school Boston Celtic fan or an old-school L.A. Laker fan?
Oh, I'm an old-school Boston Celtics fan. I loved it there, you know, smoking in the arena, all that other stuff. It was tremendous. The place would shake. The floor was pathetic. And at any time, the roof could have caved in, kind of like that joint that Terry Emmert's got down there, Eastmoreland Courts.
That's good stuff. You're right. Last question I got for you. What kind of car does Greg Crawford drive these days?
A Studebaker with no doors because I lost so many bets early on.
Oh, that's not right. That's a joke for sure. Come on now.
Oh, I love General Motors products.
There you go.
There you go.
All
great
right.
Question.
It's been fun. Thank you.
You, Bruce.
Thank
it's
you.
Been great. Thanks for the great question. Bruce Chavka, the head men's coach at Lane Community College. Now let's swing up to Portland, Oregon, and talk to the great Tony Broaddus, who's won both the championship in high school and in the NWAC. A phenomenal feat. Good evening, Tony.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having
How
me.
How are you?
I'm doing awesome, Greg. Doing awesome. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Fun program tonight.
All right. You ready for my questions?
I am ready. I'm more than ready. I know you're going to have some dandies.
Well, we'll see. But my question first is I want your review, your synopsis of the Blazers season this year, the job Terry Stott did, and what they need for next year to make it to the next level.
I think to make it to the next level, they need to really shore up the center position, and they also need a strong guy that kind of can bounce people around like a Maurice Lucas type guy, Tony. The job that Terry Stotts did, I thought it was outstanding. Of course, tomorrow, by all accounts, they're going to announce a new deal for him, 4 or 5 year deal worth about $20 million. More power to him. And I will caution all the Blazer fans: next year, there's a possibility the Blazers could not make the playoffs. That Western Conference is really going to be beefed up next year, because you're going to see a great Sacramento team. Utah's going to be better. Houston's going to be better because I think Van Gundy's going to get the job down there. And Minnesota's going to surprise a lot of people because they got a great coach and they probably got the greatest young talent in the entire NBA.
That's great. That's great. Now, here's a question for you along those lines. You know, myself, I'm a guy who studies other coaches. I like to pick up different things that they do. What is something that you've seen that Terry Stotts has done or that he does that makes him so successful? Because I am literally floored by the job that he did this year. They weren't expected to be anything, and for them to have the kind of season they did, I just want to know what is so special about this guy. How did he pull that off?
I think he's got the complete attention and respect of the players, and that's what it takes in the NBA coach. In my opinion, and you guys know more than I do, but I think the most important position in all of sports is a basketball coach. I really believe that. I'm not just saying that because we do this program, and I think Terry Stotts really has the attention of the players, and that was obvious in the exit interviews when every one of them says, you better get this guy signed up long time or we're not going to be very happy. And I think the other thing that he does is he scores a lot of points off inbounds plays, something that we've talked about on this program, which you guys all so eloquently stated are so important both to defend them and to make baskets. And the Blazers got one of the highest percentages in the league scoring off of inbound plays under their basket.
All right, that's great. Now, last question. I know you were a referee for a while, so now it's a two-part question. How long were you an official? I heard you were really good. And then what do you think of the Tim Donaghy situation? I know the NBA kind of brushed that under the rug as quick as they could, but I'm still fascinated by that whole situation with him and the game fixing and all that stuff.
I refereed high school basketball in the area for 25 years. I actually refereed basketball for 30 years. I've also done volleyball, baseball, football. I never got into water polo. Shame on me. But the Donnie thing is disturbing to me in that I think he was a loose cannon. He's kind of made it out to be that he's not. He's almost benefited and profited off of it, and I don't like that at all. I've known several of the referees in the NBA personally, and they have the highest integrity. Terry Durham's one of my closest friends of all time, tremendous referee. Going over to baseball, Dale Scott's one of my closest friends of all time, tremendous umpire. I have utmost respect for officials. I didn't like the Donnie thing. I don't care for him, quite frankly. And I will tell you this, Tony. I think referees have gotten away from their game plan. I think you don't see them out at games. I think they're more into what's the biggest check I can collect. And I'm not saying everybody, but I'm disappointed in referees. I don't think they take it as serious enough as the group did in the 80s and 90s, and I really mean that.
That's awesome, Greg. Wow. Well, we might have to audition you to take Skip Bayless's spot.
Oh, I don't think so. This was a lot of fun, though. Tony, have a great night, and we'll talk to you again next Monday night on the NWAC South Fast Lake Show. And thanks for being a part of this program from day one.
All right, man. No problem. I just look forward to next week. Thanks.
You betcha. That's Tony Broaddus, head men's coach at Portland Community College. Now let's go to Cliff Wagner, the outstanding championship coach at Clackamas Community College, beautiful Oregon City, Oregon, 41st year of coaching basketball. That is phenomenal, and the guy's got more energy now than he ever had. And he better bring it tonight with these questions. How you doing, Cliff?
Doing great tonight, Greg. Thanks. It's been an entertaining show, enjoyable. I think Bruce Chopka maybe was Ed McMahon in another lifetime, or channeling him pretty well tonight with his questions. That was very funny.
Yes, his questions were awesome. The rapid fire, I do that with David Ogren on the golf show that I do every Sunday night, who's a tremendous insider in the golf business. And it's a lot of fun when that happens.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your comments on the Blazers, and kudos to Terry Stotts, just a phenomenal coach. And I'm with Tony Broaddus on that. I think you can watch a Blazer game and pick up stuff from Terry Stotts every time he coaches. Every out-of-bounds situation is a chance to learn something. But I'd like to go ahead and shift the focus back to NWAC basketball, if we could.
Sure.
I know you watch a lot of games. You watch more college games than perhaps any human being, live, up close, actually at the games. I know you're a fan. I know you're a student of the game. What do you see as rule changes in college basketball in general, or any rule changes in the NWAC that you'd like to promote or espouse on?
Well, Cliff, I'm not sure if it's would fall under the rule changes, but I'd like to see the season expanded. People have no clue how the NWAC is, how great it is. It's my favorite level of basketball, and I'll stand by that statement. It's got great coaches. It's got dedicated coaches who, quite frankly, could coach on any level, but a lot of them have chosen to pour their heart out to help young men and women. It's awesome. You know, I think the rule changes were actually pretty good. I would take away the halo. I would just leave that up to the referees what to call. I don't like the halo because I don't think the referees have quite caught on how to do it. And, you know, I guess another thing I would do is I would have no one on the first free throw of a two-shot free throw. I'd have nobody line up on the free throw line. I want to challenge the free throw shooter. And I would change that because free throw shooting is pathetic overall. And if it gets better, more power to any coach. And I'll conclude by saying that I'm going to keep plugging away if it kills me to get more people to watch NWAC basketball because it's really special.
Those are some great suggestions and thoughts. What about the structure of the NWAC tournament? We went away from something that we'd had in place for a number of years. We tried something a little bit different this year. Thoughts on the future and the look of the NWAC tournament?
Well, this is a political season, so I'm going to take the political road. I liked both formats. I kind of love the format where one game and you're out, or the road team wins a big game. But I also like the original NWAC tournament. I'm not a big fan of double elimination. It reminds me of the old American Legion tournaments in the 1960s. It's passé. But if you can get more teams at the tournament, why not? You know, because, you know, part of being a student athlete is the experience. Part of being in the orchestra is being able to go somewhere and play in front of a crowd. And the more experience you can give to a student athlete, the better citizen they're going to be down the road. So I'm all about expansion. I mean, I'm not saying everybody gets a trophy. I'm saying everybody gets a chance.
Great answer as well. What about college basketball for men? Should they go to four quarters? Should they restructure the timeout scenario?
I think they should restructure the timeout scenario and copy the NBA because they kind of have a down pat the way they do it. But I got to say, Cliff, I don't want to take anything away from women's basketball, which is so great, but I love the four-quarter system. I just loved it watching the women's game this year. I think it added so much to the women's game and gave it a shot in the arm, actually. But, you know, I don't know. I guess that's a question I would defer to the coaches, whether they like it. But there was a lot of strategy involved at the end of those quarters, and I like that.
Well, I do agree with that. And I was a high school coach for 17 years. I also coached in the IBL at the pro level and internationally. And all those scenarios involve four quarters. Personally, as a coach, I liked having four quarters as opposed to two halves.
Yep, very good. Hey, Cliff, great job tonight. We'll catch up with you again Sunday night on the Portland Metro Small College Hoop Show. And as I say to tons of people, all you guys, and you as well, you're my closest friend on this program, just because I've known you so long, and I'm humbled and honored to know you. And I like to be in your presence because it raises my street cred.
That's pretty good. Back at you. You're a respected voice on basketball at all levels in the Northwest and just a great promoter of college basketball, and especially in NWAC. And I thoroughly appreciate that about you. So thanks again for doing the show and continued good fortune.
You betcha. Thank you to everybody. Thank you, Cliff. I love the NWAC, and we're going to make it even better. And this program's into its third year, and we're rolling. And go NWAC. Go NWAC. Good night, everybody, and thanks for listening tonight. A lot of fun. Maybe we'll do this again in, you know, another year. Good night, and don't forget to make all your free throws.